This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
It is 7:43. I'm Howard Feldman. A very, very good morning to you. Joining us for the Israel Report this morning is Kanan Lidor, and he is a journalist, a Middle East analyst, and we wanted to just talk about this extraordinary 24 hours. Israeli cabinet has now reportedly approved the hostage release deal and the ceasefire deal, and as well as looking at the fact that Donald Trump is expected to arrive in the region to witness or help implement the first phase. So it's dramatic. It's diplomacy, politics, and raw emotion, isn't it? Kanan, good morning. How are you? What are you feeling at the moment?
Good morning. Honestly, I have to say that a lot of us Israelis are feeling alongside the joy and the relief over the return of the hostages, a feeling of a tremendous opportunity that had been missed. It appears that the final details of the deal leave Hamas in place through a system which is very hard, very easy to circumvent. It's meant to be, Gaza is meant to be governed by Muslim states in America, but from our experience, what that means is that the street goes to the most powerful militia, and right now that still is Hamas. It's battle-hardened, its surviving terrorists are even fiercer and unfortunately more revered in the Gaza Strip. So it's a very complex moment with a lot of duality.
Right. So tell us now what the actual deal is. What do we understand from what has been penned and agreed to?
So there are 20 points that reportedly President Trump has put forth, and some of them are fluff, like educating Palestinians to a more peaceful attitude to Israel. That's been tried so many times, and there's no reason to believe this will work now. So there's all this fluff, but the crux of it is an Israeli withdrawal from Gaza City itself and a realignment along the borders, the release of hundreds of prisoners from Israeli prisons, and of course the release of the hostages within 72 hours, and an end to all hostilities by the IDF toward Hamas. So that means no more airstrikes either. In other words, a total ceasefire.
Right. And with regard to the lists, do we know who is going to be returning alive and who isn't? Do the families know?
Right now, Gal Hirsch, the point person for this in Israel, is notifying the families of the people who Hamas says are dead, of the 50 right. Israelis being right. held, 30 right. are believed to be dead, and one is a Nepalese citizen, and the other 19, their identities are known and the families have been informed. But of course, because of the sensitivity and censorship, Israeli media can't report outright who's dead and who's alive.
Right. Donald Trump's visit to the region is obviously quite significant, and but I'm trying to understand really what it's about. Is it about him being there to witness the success of his deal, or is it to place further pressure on Hamas to make sure that nobody moves the wrong way or reneges before the deal actually happens and comes into effect?
So obviously the decision by the U.S. president to travel anywhere is a foreign affairs relationship, foreign affairs matter. Mm. Sorry, but when you look at the echo chamber of this mm-hmm. president, there's a very clear desire to make this moment about Donald Trump, the peacemaker. He's been out there saying that this is the eighth time that he's achieved peace. So this is very much internal and not so much of a foreign policy assignment. If you look at the rhetoric that's used in, you know, conservative blogs like that of Matt Walsh and Michael mm-hmm. Knowles, who form the base of President Trump. So this is posturing. This is internal political posturing, and it's necessary because the U.S. is the administration of Donald Trump is under attack for other policies that it's promoting vis-a-vis other parts of the world, like the assassination of cartel leaders in South America. The left in the U.S., President Trump's critics, is using that to say he's a bellicose, renegade, an eternal foment of war. And so this is being used as a counterweight, saying, here, he's making peace in Israel and Ukraine. What are you talking about? That's the shadow puppet theater happening behind it.
In terms of Netanyahu's career, this is undoubtedly a turning point as well. Obviously, he is the person responsible for agreeing to the deal. We know that there's pressure on him not to, by some elements of his coalition. But how is this likely to reflect on his overall political career?
That really depends on what happens next. If Hamas violates the deal within a short period of time, mm-hmm. even by just sending incendiary balloons like they have in previous years, to give the feeling that the deal was an empty shell, that security has not returned to the Western Negev, and that can be very easily achieved, even by sporadically launching a few rockets at the towns of the Western Negev. So if that happens, his deal will be seen as a failure during an election year, basically. That's very bad for Netanyahu. But if Hamas, which has an interest to maintain the peace, if it does maintain the peace for another 2 years, then Netanyahu gets to come away from this deal as a winner, as someone who brought back the hostages, which is an all-Israeli interest right now. It's the consensus. And someone who ended a war that he is already claiming was won. So the ball is really in Hamas's court. But as I mentioned, Hamas has definitely an interest in maintaining the peace now as it rebuilds its grip on the streets of Gaza. So that's probably how it's going to
Is your feeling or what you're saying that in your view, there is little chance that Hamas has been weakened to the point that it is no longer relevant?
That's a complex question. It's definitely not relevant as a threat to Israel. It's being dismantled.
At this stage.
Its military... Yes, its offensive military capabilities have been dismantled, but it still is the party in control in Gaza. It's how jobs are allocated. It's where you look to when you need to sort something out. And when you have that power, you also have the power to mobilize people and rebuild yourself. So long term, Hamas was not dismantled on the street, but its offensive capabilities were.
In terms of this international group that is hopefully going to get involved, I see the U.S. is sending 200 military personnel. Not that it's a fortune, but maybe it's a start. I would imagine that this is going to impact this international group will impact the education system and all sorts of other things oversee the rebuilding, surely that would make it much harder for Hamas to rebuild in the same way with the same approach to tunnels and things like that.
Logistically, it is going definitely to be difficult for Hamas, also because of limitations of its own funds and personnel, to build anything of the kind that we saw exposed during the war, the massive tunnel network. That's going to be a huge challenge. But the question is going to be just laying the foundation in order to build that infrastructure in the 10 to 15 year term. So that's probably what the Hamas is going to focus on, to replenish its ranks and consolidate its hold on government offices when this new entity comes into power, basically to negotiate its power sharing situation with that entity. And Hamas is very good at that. As we saw, it managed to do it quite successfully with the Palestinian Authority and eventually succeeded it in Gaza.
Right. One thing I wanted to ask you is that there's been a noticeable shift in recent days, not really weeks, in how Al Jazeera is reporting on the Middle East, especially with regard to Israel and Gaza. Now, we know the network has been accused of pushing very, very sharp anti-Israel lines. What does this mean in terms of, well, first of all, are you seeing concrete signs that I'm observing? And what do you think that this possibly means to this process?
Language, the inflammatory language of, really calling people to rise up and oppose the Zionist oppressor, that was language that was platformed on Al Jazeera, has in the past few weeks been quietly squelched. It is absent from the content right now in Arabic. But this suggests to me an involvement by President Trump, who has now had very tough negotiations with the Qatari government about Israel, right? It got Israel, got Netanyahu to apologize for the strike in Qatar, but it still needs to keep Qatar in the process. Of course, its pride is bruised. So probably this is probably a very easy ask to deliver to Trump: hey, tone down the rhetoric in Al Jazeera. That's probably just what we're seeing. That's my interpretation of it in any way.
So in terms of what this means for Qatar's approach, does it mean a shift that we can feel confident about, or is this really just a temporary thing, do you think, to make the deal more viable?
Qatar has always had a double role when it comes to the Palestinian issue. On the one hand, it's a moderating force. On the other, through Al Jazeera and through funding Hamas, it has been an inciting role. It has been a contributor to Hamas's terror empire. And that's no accident. That's exactly how the Qataris want to keep it. But they do have to sometimes rein it in. And what we saw with Al Jazeera, we're seeing with Al Jazeera, is just a very easy to deliver step to appease us, to appease Trump, to appease the West. But there's no reason. There's actually reason to suggest that Qatar is going to be closer to Hamas now because of the Israeli strike. The Qataris have very long memory. It's not going away with an apology.
Right. Just shifting a little bit away from Israel for now, you've been very, very active in reporting around what has been happening in the Netherlands. Can you give us a sense of what is the latest there in terms of anti-Semitism and anti-Jewish activity?
I'm actually right now for family vacation as much as any one of us can tear ourselves away from the screens to watch what's going on in Israel. The situation on the ground here is amazing. There are a few anti-Israel protests, but they are small and they're taking place everywhere, all across the Netherlands. Everywhere I go, I see Palestinian flags. And so it's just tangible proof of how the propaganda, the anti-Israel propaganda, is not being pushed by Al Jazeera only. It has already moved past that point. The average citizen on the street has taken it in lock, stock, and barrel. And it's just very difficult to imagine how Jews here live with this constant humiliation of going into the supermarket and there's a huge Palestinian flag waving. I went to see the mother of a friend of my son. Mm-hmm. And as we opened the door, there are very steep staircases in the Netherlands. Mm. As we opened the door, I saw the shawl of the Al-Aqsa Brigade with the logo on it that the mother uses to go to demonstrations, just hanging on the rail of the staircase. You know, it's just ubiquitous. And this is the situation in France, in Belgium. Every wall has a Palestinian flag or some graffiti against Israel or Mossad on it. And it just really boggles the mind how about a million Jews are living in these conditions for almost 2 years now. Maybe it's nothing new to South Africans, but when you move out of here and then when you come back and you see it, it's really impossible to ignore.
That is where we leave it, Kanandi Dor. Thank you, as always, for bringing us the Israel Report. Share your thoughts on 061-895-1019.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.